It'll be very interesting to see what this offense looks like in week four. I have no idea what direction they're going to go in here against the Buccaneers.
Welcome in, brother. How you doing on this Thursday morning?
I'm doing great. Yeah, man. Phillies fever, catch it here on Eagles 365, right? I mean, listen. It's man. We're not devoted to just one thing, right? We can multitask.
Absolutely. That was a big one last night, John. The 8 home runs, 55-56 for Kyle Schwarber. Edmundo Sosa with 3 bombs. That was a rare game last night. Real quick, though, one question on them. You feel good about them in the, going into the playoffs? We're getting close to October, John.
Yeah, absolutely. I this is as good as they've looked heading into the playoffs in any of the now 4 seasons that they've gone into October. They're playing real good baseball. They're getting real good starting pitching. The only thing that concerns me is the bullpen still. Joan Duran, their closer, has had a couple of hiccups. David Robertson has had some hiccups. Ryan Kirkering's had some hiccups. Like over the last 2 weeks, those 3 guys have just not really been locking down late leads, which I wrote an article for the Good Fight, SB Nation's The Good Fight, about this. And basically, you know, in the playoffs, you have to be perfect in the late innings. And that's an unfair expectation. But if you're going to win a World Series, you got to be perfect in the late innings. You got to protect every 3-0 lead in the 8th inning. So, but yeah, I feel great about them, guys. I think they have as good, if not a better chance to win it all than any team in Major League Baseball. Does that mean they'll do it? Who knows? Octobers are crazy.
Yeah. You know, difficult not having Zach Wheeler. You'll never know what it would have been like if they have him, but obviously that's a big, but you know what? I don't like this, John, and I'll ask you for 2 reasons. One, I think the team with the best bullpen is going to win. I just think that's what modern baseball has become, unfortunately. And that's my question to you. Who has the best bullpen? That's who I'm picking.
Well, the Brewers probably have the best bullpen going right now in the National League. They've got just a number of arms that are just tremendous out there. And they can shut you down in a number of different ways. So it's probably the Brewers right now in the National League. And I think if you're looking at one of the West teams, you know, if you're looking for the worst bullpen, the reason the Dodgers aren't going to win it all this year is because they had,
which is crazy. They were so good last year. In the bullpen, and that's why they won. That's unfortunate because they all become, even if you have these great pitchers, these great starting pitchers, you know, in the old days, they go, they complete game and you have this huge advantage.
Yep.
And everybody's pulling guys, but anyway.
That's during a time when, you know, up until you had National League and American League Championship Series, you needed to just get to the World Series. You won the pennant and then you went right to the World Series. And then for years, it was just, you needed to win 3 games to get the World Series.
It really is.
You need 11 wins. And if you're a wild card team, you got to stack 13 wins together to win a World Series. So it's just much more difficult now.
You have no doubt about it. John, good stuff there. Another team in Philly that's got a lot of optimism here. 3-0 start for our Philadelphia Eagles. They look pretty good through the first 3 games. It was an interesting start to the year where, in very Philly fashion, they win 2-0, and everybody's like, what the hell is going on with the offense? And then they kind of break out of their shell in the second half of last week's football game. Just through 3 games, John, because we haven't had you on. What's your early thoughts on this Eagles team?
Yeah, it feels like they're still feeling their way through it, especially offensively. I think that they entered the season, again, with a conservative mindset. I do think that it has been the priority of Nick Sirianni and Kevin Petullo to protect the football. And they, I think, have been thinking, okay, any minute now, Saquon Barkley is going to get it going. The run game is going to start establishing itself, and then we can pass off the run. And that's what they did last year with Saquon, even in the playoffs, even in, up until the Super Bowl. That they were passing off of Saquon Barkley, and that's what helped open up the passing game quite a bit. The offensive line is clearly banged up. Landon Dickerson isn't right. You've been working on some issues on the right side of the line with Tyler Steen, and you had the injury to Lane Johnson last week, which the Matt Pryor nonsense for a half of football was beyond everyone. The reasoning to put him in. So you just have been, they've been having trouble running the football, and so you can't be conservative at that point. You got to say, okay, we've got to open things up. We got to loosen up the defense. We've got to start dictating the style of play here. And I think through the first three games, what was so, or the first two and a half games, what was so frustrating was it seemed like the Eagles were solely reactive to what the other team was doing to them offensively. And so what was good to see in the second half against the Rams was, okay, we're going to go tempo. We're going to push the ball down the field. We're going to isolate AJ Brown on one side of the field. We're going to take advantage of the talent matchups that we have. And even if they'd lost that Rams game, I think all of us would have felt a lot better about the trajectory of the offense and the direction of the team, knowing, okay, they've got this tool in their toolbox. They can use this. Let's start getting some more balance on offense. Definitely want to make sure that Saquon gets going, but you got to also then make sure that the passing game is working as well. It can't be one or the other. So it's been uneven. I think this has been their preseason. I'm hopeful now that in game four, we've gotten all that preseason nonsense out of our system and we're ready to play regular season football. And they're fortunate to be 3-0.
What do you make? Because I think it's interesting. I think that's the general perspective of the outside world that teams are trying to take away Saquon Barkley, specifically the Rams, though. I mean, nobody used more heavy boxes against the Eagles last year than the Rams, and see how that worked out for them.
Yeah.
And they're blitzing like a crazy amount. Now, part of it is just Spags, and everybody brings that up. Yeah. Spags is going to blitz, but if you look inside the numbers of that, he had never blitzed that much in his entire career in Kansas City, zero blitz. So even he amped it up. And the other, Dallas was doing it, and the Rams were doing it until they begged off, and I think that was part of the problem from their perspective in the second half. You know Todd Bowles is going to do it. I have this theory that teams are trying to take away Jalen Hurts from the perspective of what Todd Bowles has traditionally done to him, which is keep him in the pocket, and if you can't, make sure you're flushing him left. Mm-hmm. I think that's been the plan of other teams early in the season. You know, has it worked? Not to the point that they're winning games. So I don't know if I can panic yet, but if the offensive line is not going to be the offensive line and what we usually think about, is that the biggest problem?
Offensively, yes. Yeah, no doubt about it. The offensive line has to be what we've traditionally expected them to be. And it's clear Landon Dickerson is still playing through some stuff, and he's not 100%. A lot of the guys are just not winning their upfront battles. They're also not doing some of the things that we've seen them do in the past. They're not doing as much pulling on run plays as much, a lot of zone runs, and that's kind of what you're seeing from the offense right now. So I think there are a couple of tricks up their sleeve they could still use to kind of help vary things up and to negate what Bowles is going to do. I think, though, we have to remember that when we think of how the offense has performed against Todd Bowles' defenses in the recent past, the Eagles have not been with a full complement of their offensive players in three of the last four meetings.
And yes, they lost. I bring that up all the time, man.
Right.
It makes no sense to me, John, why they're playing into this. I think they're playing into this sentiment of, oh, Tampa Bay's had our number. The one time they were healthy, they beat them by two touchdowns.
Yeah,
down there.
Yeah, yeah. This AJ Brown's only played once against them in the three losses. AJ Brown was hurt in the first quarter in one of the games, and then he didn't play in the other two. He wasn't on the team in the 2021 wild card loss, and then in 2022 he didn't play against them. So I think with a full complement of his weapons at his disposal, I think it's going to be a different matchup than we've seen. And I don't know that Todd Bowles is going to be able to do all the things to Jalen Hurts that he's done in the past. I also think one of the things we learned about the Eagles is that if you want to beat blitzing, if you want to get teams to soft pedal a little bit, then go tempo, right? Go hurry up. You know, you keep the defense gassed, because those blitzes are not going to be nearly as effective if you're running no huddle for large portions of the game. So if I'm the Eagles, if I'm Kevin Petullo, I'm coming out and I'm running no huddle from the first snap. Now, I know that's going to be difficult given the heat index is going to be 103. Right. Players are going to be tired. I don't know if that's going to be sustainable for a whole game. But what I don't want to see is for the Eagles to come out and for the offense to look like it did in the first half of the first three games, where we're doing check down Charlie and we're just trying to, we're getting Saquon Barkley with 2 yards and a cloud of dust. You need to give Todd Bowles something he hasn't seen before. So I would go, listen, do it early in the game when you've got your energy. Go no huddle.
I like your thought process, John. Yeah, I like it, but not this game. Because, you know, Vic said, what do you want? No 8-play. Forget about it, 10-play. He said 8-play, 10-play, 12-play drives. Can't do that in Tampa. Can you imagine if you go 3 and out with tempo and you're back to the Chip Kelly days and you're in that heat? Yeah. I mean, I like the thought process in general. If it were like in New Orleans or a dome game, I go, yeah, that I like that plan. But for Tampa and that humidity, although it's so humid here, maybe they'll get used to it. I think you're putting Vic in a bad situation, unless you execute. I mean, right. If you want to look at it from a positive,
you're all good, exactly.
But the problem is, too often they haven't executed well. And if they're off the field with tempo like Chip Kelly in those days, that's going to be difficult.
And then I guess it's just a matter of how confident are you that you can execute. And I would rather the offense err on the assumption that they're going to execute the offense well. And we've seen in the first drives in all three games this season, the team comes out and they move the football, which is encouraging. That was a big issue last year.
That's what people forget. The first, now granted, it was a short field, but ball and interception, 2 fourth down conversions, touchdown. Then they had the 3 and out. So they have been better early in games. But it feels like all we talk about is the offense in this team. And I'm sure we'll talk more about it, but I do want to get to the defense because I've been pleasantly surprised with all the change and how effective the defense has been. I thought they won the game last week. Obviously Jordan Davis won the game, but from the perspective of if they give up a red zone touchdown and 26-7 is 30-7 or 34, the game's over.
Yeah.
The fact that they were able to hold them to field goals in those difficult situations. And I just think as a group, they've been really, really solid on defense. And that surprises me a little bit with all the change. And they lost a bunch of good players. And they've been playing well. Your thoughts on the defense?
The defense has played pretty well. They're not getting as much consistent pressure on the quarterback as you would like, but that's honestly not a surprise, given they lost Milton Williams and Josh Sweat and Brandon Graham, and now with Nolan Smith on the IR for a few weeks, it's going to be, you know, it's really going to be incumbent on some of these guys that they've signed, Uche,
Aziz.
Exactly. Like all these guys, they're going to have to get more consistent pressure, and Jalen Carter is going to have to generate more pass rush up the middle. He's been good, and Jordan Davis obviously has been great, but just that D-line will have to step up and get a little bit more pressure on Baker Mayfield. And really, you know, I think just looking at Baker Mayfield is keeping him in the pocket. We talk about keeping Jalen Hurts in the pocket. That dude runs most opportune times. He is a pain in the rear end, man. So I would try to keep him in the pocket quite a bit. I think with all of the changes, Makuba's come in, played pretty well. I think cornerback 2 looked like a disaster in week 1. It's been a bit better in weeks 2 and 3, although they went after Bennett on that final drive.
Yeah, they did.
So we'll see what Kelee Ringo has. Ringo has played decently in the past in the regular season before. So maybe getting in game action, he looks better than he did in training camp. I think all the defense has done what a Vic Fangio defense does early in the season. Feel their way through, try to figure out their roles, try to figure out how everybody's going to play with each other. And then by midseason, they're shutting teams down. Until that happens, it's excellent that their red zone defense has been so good. And that's been a staple of Vic Fangio defenses since the beginning of time. They may bend, but they don't break. And that absolutely saved them on Sunday.
Yeah, four field goals in the first half, Sean McVay. That's not going to get it done versus the Super Bowl champs. John, how are you feeling about Jordan Davis 3 games into the season? I think he might be. Maybe with the exception of Zach Bond, he might be playing the best defense of anybody, or the best play of anybody on that defense. How optimistic are you on Jordan Davis moving forward after what you've seen so far, or not optimistic?
Jordan Davis has inspired me to give these up, guys. I really need to get on the stick about giving up sugary drinks because you can see what a difference it makes.
Yeah, that's right.
The Peloton, not the sugary drinks, John.
The Peloton. frankly, I could use for some time on a Peloton as well.
Yeah. Me too, John. You and me both.
Me more than both of you. Jeez.
Yeah, no. Yeah. He's been a revelation. I mean, it really has been. This is the guy that we thought we were getting when he was drafted. His career arc kind of sounds like a Brandon Graham career arc. And I think that's who we're going to compare every first round pick who struggles at first and then figures it out later. It's always going to be the Brandon Graham route to success. And maybe that's right. Where we're going with Jordan Davis. Picking up the fifth year option last offseason was by no means a slam dunk, but it looks like the smart move now. And, you know, credit the kid for getting himself in great shape. He's always been a freak athlete at his size, and now we're really seeing it. And it's what's also great is that it's going to make Jalen Carter better over the course of a season. And that's the thing, is when you have two guys in the middle who are beasts, now Jalen Carter he may not get double teamed as much. You might have to start giving Jordan Davis a double team every once in a while, and that can free Jalen Carter up for stuff. And if not, if they keep throwing two guys at Jalen Carter, then it seems like Jordan Davis is just going to keep eating all season long. So it's a great development for a defensive line that came into the season not really counting on Jordan Davis to be an impact player. I think they wanted him to continue to play a good role in the running game, but what he's giving them now gives them another defensive lineman in a unit that lost a bunch of talent last year. And that's a huge development for this defense.
Yeah. And, you know, with that being said, Jordan Davis had a good start, but the run defense hasn't been great for this team. I don't think it's all Jordan Davis's fault, to be clear, but I do think that's something that those edges got to work on. And, you know, any concern on that part of it? The Eagles are giving up 133 yards a game rushing. Kyron Williams and those guys had a bunch of yards last week. Any concern on that part of the defense?
Yeah, not dynamic running games either from the Eagles' first three opponents, and they did get gapped a little bit. I'm not overly worried about that because I think, again, you don't want to get burned in the passing game. If you're giving up a lot of chunk plays through the air, that can really hurt you. And we've seen that happen a little bit here. But when you're
and that's Bick's philosophy as well. I'll just jump in because if he starts having too many problems, then he just drops a gamble down the five man front, and if it gets really bad, he'll use a six man front.
Right,
and then he stops it. So I'm not concerned. I don't know about you guys. I'm not concerned about the run defense at all. I think it's been fine.
I think it's kind of isn't it kind of part of like what Vic wants to do.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like he'll trade a 5 yard run. I mean,
right.
That's kind of the modern NFL. You're trying to stop the passing game more, and the last thing he wants to do is to blitz because when he blitzes, he's taking a guy off of coverage. Now, that changes in the red zone when it becomes more of a high leverage situation. He's more, or in Kansas City, where he blitzed more than I've ever seen him because he didn't respect the receivers. So all of these things are contextual. But I think the run defense overall has been fine. And if they have a problem, they'll just drop the extra front defender down, and I think they'll be able to shut it down. But they're okay. That's similar to what – think about it from this perspective, guys. That's why people are okay with Saquon Barkley running as long as it's 7 or 8 yards and not 70 yards. You know, just don't hurt me in the passing game is how most teams approach it. Before I go back to offense, John, and I hesitate to ask this question, but the fans are love this stuff. So, CJ, GJ. Up or down? Thumbs up or thumbs down?
I don't think they need him right now. I wouldn't be against bringing him back for depth purposes, but
ooh,
I don't think
that's not going to work.
I don't think he's a guy you bring back for depth. I think if you bring CJ GJ back, you have to insert him in the starting lineup. And I think they want to see what Andrew Mukuba has. I think he has looked like a playmaker through his first 3 weeks, and that's what CJ GJ's calling card is. It's clear that
you can have it all. Great pay, awesome benefits, a flexible schedule, the chance to grow. At Cox, we're recruiting auto and diesel technicians to join our Manheim and fleet services teams. If you're ready for a new job and want to experience an award-winning workplace, drive your career forward with us. Visit cox.career/autotech to learn more. That's cox.career/autotech.
He's what a weird player in that, you know, you get him for 2022, you go out of your way to get CJGJ, you make a trade and he helps solidify a defense and you get to the Super Bowl. You let him go. And then in 2023, there's no fire. There's no one making plays in the secondary. The defense absolutely falls apart and you're losing the wild card round. So you go out and you bring him back for 2024, despite all of the chaos that he causes in a locker room. And the defense, once again, is number one in the NFL. You win a Super Bowl with him and then you say, okay, see you later. You know, it's like, there's something here where it's basically, it almost feels like you're making a deal with the devil with CJGJ. It's like, we're going to deal with all of the CJGJ stuff that goes with him, but he can play when you need him. This is not a situation where I think they need him right now. If he could only play cornerback, that would be outstanding. But I like Mukuba. I think what Mukuba is giving them at safety right now negates the need for CJGJ. I think he's going to find someplace else that's willing to take on any potential headaches that might be there. And even though it's worked twice in Philadelphia, I don't know that third time's a charm.
Yeah. I mean, the interesting part about him is because you can kind of see anybody can see that he's tough to deal with, CJ Gardner-Johnson, just in the way he is. But I mean, it can't be that big of a problem. They went to two Super Bowls and won, you know, and came within a play of winning the other one. So it can't be that big of a problem, but we'll see what ends up happening with Gardner-Johnson. One other player on defensive side I want to talk to you about, John. Reed Blankenship, you know, I think you're right. I felt the same about Mukuba. I'm like, I don't really want him to replace Mukuba, but I don't think Reed's having quite the start to the season that he was hoping for in a contract year. Any concern on Reed Blankenship right now?
Not really. I mean, I know that he was kind of the guy who gave up the Davante Adams touchdown, but that's not really his strength, covering Davante Adams downfield. Yeah, and he got pushed off.
That's no safety strength.
Exactly. So, I mean, I don't know what's going on with Reed. He's proven to be a really solid player since he was inserted into the starting lineup a few seasons ago. I don't really have a whole lot of concern about him. If he is struggling right now a little bit, my guess is they'll figure it out and get him back on track. I got it. Yeah, I'd say I didn't even think about Reed Blankenship. His name hasn't even bubbled to the surface in my head at all through these first 3 weeks.
So. I guess that's a good thing then.
Yeah, it's just not it. Of all the list of things that I think, you know, we've been talking about with the Eagles, any issues with Reed Blankenship, I think I have confidence that he's a smart player. He's a physical player. And that my guess is that he will figure it out.
Yeah, I would just add to that because I've heard that a few times. Well, just play CJ with Drew and not play Reed Blankenship. No. I'm like, no.
No, yeah.
Reed's the responsible. Reed's the guy who's responsible for the communication and getting everybody lined up correctly. That part of it would not work. He hasn't had the best start to the season from his typical standard, but I'm with John. I think it's going to be fine. So I'll go back to offense because it's similar, and I don't want to compare them as players because one's an all-pro, but Saquon Barkley has not been Saquon Barkley early in this season, especially coming off last year. It's not only the running game. He's also struggled in blitz pickup as a receiver. He kind of is what he is. Occasionally, you know, you're going to see the bobbled catch or something like that, but is it starting to creep back in your head that maybe 482 touches is going to have an impact on him, or is it just he'll get it going?
It's gotta be in your mind somewhere, right? And the fact that he played deeper into a season last year than he ever has before. So he had a shorter off season, and certainly he became like one of the faces of the NFL. I mean, he's already one of the more popular players, but his stardom went to another level last off season.
Oh, so yeah.
Off-season commitments that go along with it. So that can affect your preparation. I always feel like that's one of the things that happened to Jalen Hurts after the 22 Super Bowl heading into 23. Like, there was just so much more going on with him that just didn't seem like he was as ready for the 23 regular season. I don't know that that's what's going on with Saquon Barkley. I think we've all seen that the offensive line has been not quite as good through the first three weeks of the season. I think the play calling has been different. I think the run calls have been I feel like they've been predictable. I feel like defenses seem to have some sense of where Barkley's going to run. And we also haven't seen Jalen Hurts be a major part of the designed run game, which helps take some of the focus off of Saquon Barkley through the first 3 weeks. So there's some factors. I think you still see that athleticism there. That spin move that he made for a four-yard gain in the game last week, an important four-yard gain, was indicative of the fact that I think he's still got the juice. I think the moves are there. I think the speed is there. I think the elusiveness is still there. I just think it's been a combination of things where teams have been more focused on stopping Saquon Barkley and saying, listen, until Jalen Hurts and the offense opens things up, we're not going to let Saquon Barkley beat us. And you know, that's why you need the passing game to kind of loosen things up a little bit. Running Jalen more and just getting that offensive line together, I think is calling some different plays offensively, like more pulling and all that kind of stuff. That I think will help, but you can't discount how much he ran last year and how deep into the season, how long the season was for Saquon Barkley was last year.
Interesting stuff, John. I think they got to pass more. I do. I think they got to pass more. I know they won it this way, and everybody keeps using that stat 19-1. And I'm like, all right, 17 of those games were last year, where you had a different defense, you had a different offensive line, you had Saquon Barkley was on a historic pace. You know, I think you got to evolve. You know, the NFL is a very fast-paced league, and you got A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, you hear A.J. in the locker room. He wants to be let loose, and I get it. He's a receiver. You can't always just, you know, placate to that. But I do believe their best way to go forward this year is to have a good balance of both. I'm not asking them to be Joe Burrow, make him Joe Burrow. But right. I do think you got to get those guys involved, because – I think it'll open things up for Saquon Barkley too. You know what I mean? He right now it's more simple, but I don't know what you think of that. I'm looking for more of a balanced attack offensively, but I understand why they're not doing it, because they are 19-1.
Yeah. Every year is different. I mean, it's not all, like, if you want to do that, like, we'll go back to the start of 2022 and talk about, you know, it's some things do have a progression from one year to the next, and some things are totally different. And this is a situation that's totally different. New offensive play caller, a totally different right guard. You've got, you know, injuries on the front with Dickerson, and just, you know, again, it's all of these guys played deep into the season last year, and none of them were in the preseason, which is fine. I don't care about playing starters in the preseason. I prefer one game, I think, for guys to play a half just to kind of get it going. But they're 3-0, and they're going to figure. I think the overall thing is I have confidence they'll figure it out. They have solutions. It's not as if there's no chance that they can get Saquon Barkley going. Like, there's so many levers that they have that they can pull to fix whatever things are not working on a given week. And it's just really going to be a matter of how quickly in game can these guys make adjustments. And so far, it seems as though they've done a decent job making in-game adjustments. Last week was a little slower than I think we would have liked, but they eventually got it going.
Yep.
I think the most positive thing about this team, let's be honest, this is the best era of Eagles football. With all due respect to Ray Diddy, I'm not going to go back to 1949 and 1950, but certainly in the modern era, this has been the best stretch of Eagles football ever. There's only been a few teams in history that have won 19 of 20 games, and they're one of them. I did it on purpose, but I snuck it into Nick Sirianni, and I think I caught him off guard. And I think I got a somewhat honest answer. He had earlier in his press conference yesterday, he mentioned a football building has to be a little bit different than the outside world. And I brought that up back up, and I said, when he hears the word conservative, what's the disconnect? Why do you think you're not conservative versus other people think you're conservative? And he gave a pretty good answer from the standpoint of, obviously, everyone's entitled to their own opinion. We can't wrap ourselves up in that. And he went to basically ball security. And our players' jobs is to go out there and execute, play with great fundamentals, blah, and all the nonsense. All right. But does it simply boil down? And I think it does. But from your guys' perspective, does it simply boil down to, if we don't turn the football over, we're going to win the football game? That's how talented And how can you sustain that when you have players that want the football? Because clearly AJ's doubling down. Clearly Jalen wants to throw the football more. You saw it in the moment with Pam Oliver. He receded because he's had time to think about it. But in the emotion of that moment, he gave you his real thoughts. How long can Nick Sirianni keep it up and keep everybody on the same page?
If they win. You know, if they keep winning and they, you know, they win another Super Bowl, they keep winning, everybody's going to stay on the same page. And I think especially, like, again, if Saquon Barkley gets going, then the conservative play calling makes a lot of sense. When Saquon Barkley is rushing for 175 yards and scoring two touchdowns and you're, you know, you're winning games by 10 points, you know, you don't have to do a lot throwing the football. But I do think they need to understand that. I mean, I give AJ Brown all the credit in the world. There's so many wide receivers in this league that would be going scorched earth. Even winning 19 of 20 games would be going scorched earth on the coaching staff with how often he's been targeted or the lack of targets and the lack of production. And he doesn't do that. I mean, he really is trying to get the team to look at the whole board. And he's got a lot of wisdom, more wisdom, I think, than most wide receivers, star wide receivers in the NFL. So I have no problem with anything he said. As a matter of fact, I think he's been speaking so much truth about where the offense is, but I think it's going to be what it's going to be under Nick Sirianni. They do want to prioritize ball control. And we saw in 23 a little bit when Jalen and AJ go off script that it's not great. So some lessons were learned maybe in 2023 to just kind of look, you're going to get your shots. You're going to get your opportunities. You're going to have games where you're the man, and we're just going to figure it out week to week. And as long as they're winning, I think whatever style they use to win is it's going to be accepted, because how are you going to complain about losing, winning football games?
Yeah. I just wonder how much that margin for error closes up. I mean, you bring up Saquon Barkley. Hey, I completely agree. Johnny Mack on this show often says, he talked to a general manager last year who says, this might be the greatest offensive line I've ever seen, talking about last year's offensive line. They're not that right now.
Not right now.
So it's like, all right, if you factor in, okay, last year, 19-1. Yeah, a lot of those games, as I pointed out, were last year. Last year was a different football team with also a historic defense, where running the ball gives you that, you know, you have a bigger margin for error because of that. I'm Team AJ right now, John. Listen to AJ, man. Come on.
I've always been Team AJ.
And by the way, I don't think, you know, the other thing I don't like about this conversation is it feels like it's like two extremes and that's it. It's like, we need the context. Like, I'm not asking you to be Joe Burrow. And I also don't think we need to pass for 91 yards in a game. You know what I mean? Like, where's the middle ground. You can, yeah, right, where you can find the truth and the right place to be. That's where I'd like to get to, but I understand it's either like all conservative or all aggressive. I don't think it needs to be that.
And I'll say this too. The big question, I think, is where does Jalen Hurts fall in this whole conversation? Is he team ball control or is he team AJ? Because I don't think you get, I mean, he talked about wanting the straitjacket taken off him and last year. And that was, I think, an indication that he wants to be more aggressive. He certainly seemed on the sidelines like he wants to be more aggressive. Yeah. We've been talking about the conservative play calling for 4 years, you know, going with the last 3 years, really since 2023. And Jalen Hurts is the quarterback of this football team. He's the guy who makes the decisions for where to go with the football on the field. So the offense is going to go how he wants it to go, essentially. And so I think that's the big question, is like, is the conservative nature of this offense, is the way that they run the offense, is the kind of like the predictability of the formations and what they're going to run, is that because that's what Jalen Hurts is comfortable with and what he likes to do? Or is it what Nick Sirianni wants to do? And Jalen Hurts is the good soldier and he's doing what he's told, but he would really like to open things up a little bit more. I don't really know the answer to that question. And Jalen Hurts is not going to give you a deep, insightful answer on that. He's going to give you kind of the guarded, a cliche speak that he normally does. And that's fine. You know, whatever. I don't get a sense for what Jalen Hurts really wants to do with the offense and how he thinks it's best to win. He just wants to get a W at the end of every game. And I think that's the most important thing.
At John Stolness, make sure you follow John on the X platform. You can read him over with our buddy BLG at BleedingGreenNation.com. Does a tremendous job, obviously, gearing up for Red October. Hopefully, it lasts a little bit longer this year than last year. I think they're set up, the Phillies. So if you want to be a dreamer, potential World Series championship, potential Super Bowl, back-to-back Super Bowls, how excited would Philadelphia be? They're in a position, certainly legitimate contenders in both sports. Not so much basketball and hockey, but you can't have everything.
Not even close on those
two. Can't have everything. Good to catch up with John Stolness. I'll leave you with this one, John. I think we do know, and I think, to your point, what you just said, I think Jalen Hurts' emotion told you he's Team AJ with Pam Oliver after the game. I think Nick Sirianni's history in Indianapolis tells you he's willing to ship the offense around the quarterback. He sold Jeffrey Lurie because they built three different offenses out of circumstances in three different years because they lost Andrew Luck. That was easy to build an offense, but he had to retire early because of injuries. They had to build an offense around Jacoby Brissett, which looked completely different. Then they had to build an offense around Phillip Rivers, which again was easier, but looked completely different from the Jacoby Brissett offense. He has proven that he's willing to mold his system around the strengths of his quarterback. I think this is their thought that this is the best way to win with Jalen Hurts. And all they do is win. So I have a tough time criticizing it. But people want to see the passing yards. It's crazy to me. I'm like, who cares? Now I get it. The problem is real life comes into it. And then you have the receivers. At some point, as good as teammates as AJ Brown and Devontae Smith are, at some point they're going to think about, boy, what if I was with so-and-so Joe Burrow or with, what would I be doing? But where Howie cuts that off is he pays them.
Yeah.
So I think there's way too much complaining about this organization. And I'm usually the negative guy. I'm like, what am I missing here? Everything they do, all they do, they may never lose again, John.
Yeah, I think there's always just the worry of sustainability. And they've shown that they've been able to sustain playing the way that they have played over the last 2 years. 2023 is always going to be in the back of people's minds because, you know, it just, you could see that it was it was a castle, but, you know, made out of matchsticks. And there's always that concern that, and when you look at the talent on the offense, they should be better than they have been through the first three games of the season. And so there's just a little bit of like, what's going on here? You know, why aren't we opening it up? Why is it a struggle so much? And they should have lost the game on Sunday against the Rams. That should have been a loss that didn't need to be a loss because the offense was playing too buttoned up. So I don't know. We'll see. It'll be very interesting to see what this offense looks like in week four. I have no idea what direction they're going to go in here against the Buccaneers.
Make your pick real quick, John. You reserve the right to change, but make it here on Birds 365.
Honestly, this has kind of felt like a schedule loss since the beginning of the season. I mean, they're due for a win in Tampa. They're due to give this team a little bit of a comeuppance, but I don't think the Eagles are going undefeated this season. This feels like the right time for them to drop a game. I think it'll be close. I think it'll be competitive. I'm going to pick the Eagles. First time I've picked them to lose a game, I think, in 2 years, but I feel like this is going to be a close loss on Sunday afternoon. I don't think I'm going to be panicking afterwards.
Wow.
But I'll say Buccaneers win this game. I'll say it's something like 27-24.
Wow. 19-1 Birds, and you're going on the opposite side. That's good stuff.
I probably won't pick them to lose the rest of the season, all right?
Yeah,
but that's
right.
Yeah.
All right, John. Good stuff, man. We appreciate you joining in today on a short notice. So thanks so much, brother. We appreciate it. We hope to talk to you again soon. Make sure you guys follow him at John Stolness. Read his work over at Bleeding Green. And listen to his Phillies podcast as well. They're great stuff as well. So, John, thanks, brother. We appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.